to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do. Help a snowman. Do.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome. As promised, I've returned. I've returned from a sojourn abroad, and I was going to try on my vacation to not complain about things so as not to, well, maybe to have a better time, but also so as not to make it a worse time for my lovely partner, Poonmaster Flex, because I felt like, you know, As you may have learned from listening to this, I can complain about things. I can be a bit of a complainster, and I don't want to just complain all the time, but especially when we were just together, right? And so my plan was to keep track of things that annoyed me, and then take it out on you all once I returned. And I have returned, and I've got a small list of things to talk about. Here's what's interesting about the list of things I have to talk about. It's actually very little about traveling and so on. Well, I basically have no complaints about Japan, okay? But I do have complaints about the United States compared to Japan. But also travel in general. So let's start with just, you know, before I left. Okay, so we were going on a 12-plus-hour flight, right? And I can never sleep on a plane. Like, I've never slept on a plane except one time, which was a time when I was traveling when I was much younger. And we had a layover in Chicago. So, you know, it's like, I don't know, 2 hours or something back to Denver from there. And the plane was almost entirely empty. So I got an entire row to myself. I laid all the way down in a row and did sleep that time. And it was a hilarious flight because, I mean, I think there were less than 50 people on the flight. The flight was like maybe a third full. And, as we were getting close to Denver, the, seemingly gay flight crew were all in their like nightclub outfits because they were going to go have a night on the town. And it was like they just got changed on the plane before we even landed. And I was like, I'm fine with this. So anyway, before we left, I was trying to figure out how to sleep on the plane. And, you know, I tried the pharmaceutical route. Well, okay. Here's my big issue with this, right? I'm going to go to, this is a article from in Travel and Leisure, and it's like how to get sleep on a plane, because I feel like this is very, very much how these kinds of things go, right? 11 ways to sleep better on a plane, you know. And of course, I don't understand why every article to like this does an introduction. Traveling to a faraway place can be exciting, but it may require a long haul flight. To arrive feeling refreshed and ready to explore, you'll want to sleep on the plane. And I'm like, yeah, I know why I'm here. I know why I'm reading this article. Like, I know why I'm here. Maybe you don't, but I do. I don't need this. Just start with number one. Okay, so the first one was skip coffee, right? Which I did, because I was like, well, if our plane leaves at like 11:30 or whatever, normally I have 1 to 2 cups of coffee a day. But in this case, I was like, I'll just pass on it because, like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. It's totally fine. So, I mean, that's not terrible advice, but it is definitely advice that I could come up with. You know what? I heard. How did this go? Oh, okay. I was reading something that was like, you know, a sleep expert or a doctor or something who was like, saying he's had very few cases of like true insomnia. And he was like, I mean, once in a while, people are doing crazy things. And he said that he had a patient who complained of not being able to sleep at night. And he, you know, asked a bunch of questions and they were trying to figure it out. And eventually what he discovered was this guy was drinking coffee right before bed, and that this person did not know why people don't do that. Why that might be disrupting his sleep, which I was like, that's crazy. Like, that is that just a really dumb person? I mean, how dumb? You know, it's like, is he thinks he's the only one who has figured out, like, oh, well, I could just drink this. I like the taste of this in the night as well. There's probably no reason that everyone else drinks this in the morning. I think that's kind of a theme for a lot of my gripes about travel, is other people thinking I figured out a thing that no one else has figured out. I don't know why everyone else doesn't do it this way. And there's a reason everyone else doesn't do it that way. And it's either because that way is dumb, or because that way makes it chaos if everyone did it. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, you can do it that way because everybody else is like willing to give a modicum of respect and consideration to others. Anyway, so like, skip the coffee. I mean, it's like, it's not bad advice or anything, but I'm like, how many people need that advice? How far is that taking anyone? Dress for the occasion. We all want to look like glamorous jet setters upon our arrival, but this is one time where you might want to put on comfort over style. No shit. I think that's another no shit. It's like, yeah, I mean, I don't need to land in a suit. And plus, you know, if I'm in a suit and then we make our landing, I'm like, what's that suit going to look like after being on my body for 20 hours? Because, you know, leaving and then flying and then arriving somewhere, it's not going to look good. It ain't going to be a good situation. Okay, this is like accessories, which is like, get a sleep mask, get a neck pillow, get noise-canceling headphones. I think these are like, the sleep mask and the noise-canceling headphones are two of the big ones that everybody is like, oh yeah, try those. You know, when I looked at like other articles, or like especially like Reddit, you know, because I was like, well, maybe Reddit has some ideas for me. And the problem with these articles and the people on Reddit and so on, they're clearly people who don't have a hard time sleeping on a plane. They're like, I put on my noise-canceling headphones and a sleep mask and I'm usually out the whole time. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't really need advice from you then. You know what I mean? That would be like, okay, I know we all want advice from an expert, and that's a reasonable thing to do in most cases. Like, I don't know, someone who's good at driving could probably tell us some tips, you know, to help us drive better. But like, somebody who's good, who is tall, giving us tips on being taller, it doesn't really work that way, right? Or it's like when people who never get sick give me tips on like, I never get sick and here's what I do. And I'm like, okay, but let's rewind that for a second. You never get sick. Like, so if you never get sick, why are you giving advice to someone who always gets sick on how to not get sick? You know what I mean? It's not really the same thing. We're not talking about a skill here. The next one is great. Splurge on a premium ticket. You know what I mean? You can get a lie-flat seat in first class. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I think an answer to many of life's problems is like, well, if you have a bunch of money to spend, you know what I mean? And I'm like, that's not really an answer, though, is it? Because isn't that just kind of like, if spend more money is your answer for something, I'm like, well, that's not really that helpful to me. Like, I can come up with that again. It's like, yeah, I mean, because the thing is, what I discovered, because I was like, well, you know, a long flight like that, maybe a more premium ticket is worth it. But, you know, I thought maybe it would cost 1.5 times or twice as much. And instead, it's like 3.5 times as much. And you're just like, I mean, the plane ticket is going to cost more than everything else for 2 weeks of a vacation. That seems crazy, right? Like, I don't know if I can. I just don't know if I can do it. even if I could swing it financially, I just don't know. I think when I arrive, I would be like, ugh, I made a mistake. You know what I mean? Choose a seat in the main cabin wisely. It's like, yeah, I mean, so get further from the restroom and, do these other things. And it's like, okay, whatever. Put on your seatbelt. They always are like, okay, buckle your seatbelt over your outermost layer, because we might have to wake you up to make sure you have your seatbelt on. I didn't see that happening at all. I think they say that, but I don't think that's actually something they do. I have a little bit of a theory that, like, flight crew is sort of like, you know, I mean, unless we're going into some, like, real turbulent shit, in which case I'm probably not going to be asleep anymore. They're probably like, the more people who are asleep, the less problems we have, just statistically, right? That's got to be better. Fly direct, you know, relax. Don't stress if you can't fall asleep right away. You know, these are the kinds of things that they say. And it's like, I mean, guys, this is kind of bullshit, right? Okay. So my first complaint comes in. Well, I fucking hate the airport. I hate the airport so much because you get there, the whole place smells like either weird jet fuel or like they have this cleaner they use at the Denver airport that it's got like this sweet, it's sort of like the cherries you put in your car to hang from the rearview mirror. And it's like a sort of sickly sweet smell that I just like, it just makes me kind of want to barf. And I'm like, well, this is nice that I feel like I want to barf before I get on an airplane, before I'm like in the throes of potential motion sickness. But, you know, we're getting on a plane, right? So you leave the house at like 8 in the morning. And I think it was 20 hours before we got to our hotel. And so you kind of have to eat at the airport because you're like, well, I'm supposed to get here 4 hours before my flight. And then I'll get on the flight, and like what they give you meal wise on the flight is a huge toss up. We'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, it's like the airport just sucks, man. You're just like, you couldn't have like all the chairs have to be connected to each other on a bench. So it's like you're feeling every movement that someone behind you makes. And like, okay, let's do a big one here. I fucking hate that speakerphone is a thing that exists. That people take calls on speakerphone or they use FaceTime, but, you know, they don't use headphones is insane. Because I'm like, all right, if you've got an iPhone 16 or whatever, certainly you can afford a pair of headphones with a microphone in them. And these things work great. They're amazing, guys. Like, they work perfectly. You can hear everything. Everyone can hear you. And you can go through your whole phone call and whatever. But I think the worst part is, like, whenever I see someone doing this with their phone, whenever they're like doing speakerphone or whatever, and I probably do give them a look that I don't intend to, that's a little more like, oh, God damn it. And every once in a while, like if I'm looking at someone who's doing that, they give you a look like, the fuck is your problem? And I'm like, you're having an entire two-way conversation super loud. And I was like, have you not looked around? Okay, here's the thing, right? Everybody doing things that they think, why, you know, nobody else is doing this. And I'm like, have you not looked around and noticed that no one else is doing what you're doing? And it's like, and also flip it. Imagine if everyone else was doing what you're doing. It would be fucking chaos in here. Everybody's on speakerphone. I just don't get, though, the heavy usage of speakerphone. Like, I see people in public all the time using speakerphone, and then I hear the other person. And it's like, what is this saving you? Having a phone, like, holding a phone 6 inches higher against your face? And I'm like, just get the headphones, man. Then you don't even have to hold the phone. It can be in your pocket. You can talk to your brother and fold laundry at the same time. It's amazing. But yeah, in the airport, it's so loud in the airport. Like, it's just so loud. And I kind of forgot about that, except the last time we went somewhere. And I was just like, you like arrive at the airport and it's wall to wall noise until you get out of the airport on the other end. And it's like, that's the best part is when you get to the other end and you get to your hotel and that door, you know, clicks closed and you're just like, okay, like there's no loud, constant noise. You know what I mean? There's not hundreds of people all making noise. And it's just like, guys, calm down. You know what I mean? Calm down. The next thing is, you know, probably something people are tired of hearing me talk about, but here we go. Both our flight on the way out and the way back had someone who had a really, really bad cough the entire flight, like was clearly quite sick. And like, you know, part of me is like, maybe don't get on a flight when you're like that. But, you know, trying to be charitable, I'm like, well, maybe they, you know, maybe they're flying home and it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. But I can tell you what to do. Wear a fucking mask, you motherfuckers. And none of them did. None of the big coughers who were coughing the whole time did that. And I was like, this is insane. You know, and I looked, by the way, because I remember, and you could tell me whether you remember this or not, but I remember pretty distinctly hearing through some kind of grapevine that people were like, oh, yeah, you know what? On the plane, it's fine, because once you take off the recirculating air, it cycles the air enough that it's like you have like no danger of getting COVID. And I was like, is that true, though? That doesn't seem like it's true. Because it doesn't seem like I won't get COVID just because, like, if I have a fan blowing in my face, you know what I mean? So I looked it up. And the most conclusive thing, or the thing I trusted the most, which is, I guess, both things, was somebody's, they did a study and they were like, okay, here's the problem. It's very difficult to study this because in the United States, we don't do contact tracing and we don't, so we have no idea. In most cases, people getting off of flights, whether or not they got COVID and whether or not they had COVID. And because we also don't do screening of any kind. So they were like, it's kind of hard to know how many people were getting on planes with COVID and how many people got off of planes with COVID. But they were like, in a, you know, a more structured study situation, they did find that they were like, well, we couldn't definitively prove much other than the longer the flight, it was more likely you would get it. And also they were like, but the longer the flight didn't matter if people were wearing masks. And I was like, okay. So this whole thing about airlines saying it's totally safe or whatever, that was probably airlines just convincing us that it's okay to fly, that they're like, it's perfectly safe. And it's like, actually, it's definitely not. But anyway, I'm just like, just fucking wear a mask if you're sick, man. That's all I ask. It would just be much nicer. And it's just like, I don't know. It's like an entitlement thing, right? It's like, whatever, I got sick. So now everybody else on the plane has to get sick because I don't want to be in discomfort to wear a mask. And I'm like, but then you throw like 2 weeks of discomfort on someone else because you just can't be fucked to do it. I hate that. I hate it. All right. Now I'm going to shift to talking about Japan and the difference and like why, you know, why some of the things bothered me. Oh, there was. Okay. There's a couple more things. This is the return flight. So we'll switch to the return flight. We're standing at the baggage claim and the thing is going around and there's a guy there who's like, you know, I don't know, in his early 30s. And he's there with his mom because he kept calling her mom. And they walk up together and the guy stands there and the mom walks right up so her shins are touching the baggage claim. Now, we all know how this works, right? We all know that you go to baggage and then you take like 4 giant steps back from the baggage claim and wait there. That way, when someone sees their bag, they can walk up, grab it, and get it off the thing and then get back out of the way. as opposed to if we're all standing right up against it, then you can't really see it coming. And like, it's much more difficult and it's no faster if we're all standing up there. So I did hear, and I was like, good for you, man. This guy's mom standing up against it. And he's like, mom, like, come back here. And it was like, it was funny and not funny, but funny. Cause I was like, he's clearly traveling with his mom and is like a little stressed out. You know, none of us are at our best. Okay. After like being on a 12-hour flight, but he's like, stand back here away from the thing. And his mom was like, what, you know, and didn't want to do it. But then he was like, come back here. And he was like, there's no reason to stand right up there. It makes no sense. You know, and I was just like, I could feel him trying to tamp down his anger and like whatever, and also trying to get his mom to do it, but also not wanting to like create a huge conflict with his mom. Cause you know, that's, you don't want to do that, right? You're like, well, look, I don't want to destroy my relationship with my mom over her standing right up against the baggage claim. At the same time, I would like her to not stand against the baggage claim. And I do know that I am correct. You know what I mean? What I think she should do is correct. Anyway, that was a mix, right? Because I was like, well, she's doing the wrong thing. And tons of people do it, right? Tons of people do it that way. But he was doing the right thing and even going so far as to correct his mom, even though it was like nobody was like yelling at her or anything. So I was like, I don't know. It's both faith in humanity, like destroyed and restored. But the other thing is, this one guy was standing right up against it. And okay, the flight back, I told you there was somebody like coughing severely the whole way, right? And it was this lady a couple rows back, and it was just like, it was crazy. I mean, I was like, is she going to make it back? Of course, she's not wearing a mask. And then when the flight lands, her and her husband were two of my least favorite people. My least favorite people on the plane are the ones who, the second the plane like comes to a taxi and the seatbelt sign goes off, they click their seatbelt off and like shoot up and start getting their stuff and try to like basically dash to the front of the plane so they don't have to wait for people in front of them to exit. And like, I understand that desire. Believe me, in a deep way, I understand that desire. Cause sometimes you're like, we've landed, the seatbelt sign is off. I'm still going to wait here for 15 minutes. You know what I mean? And that sucks. And you're just like, guys, can we all just agree when this plane lands, like get your shit together and just, I'm not saying you have to rush off the plane. I'm not saying you should be like out of breath getting off the plane as fast as you can. I'm just saying, make a concerted effort. You know, really try to get off the plane efficiently, quickly. You know what I mean? When the thing goes off, be like, okay, I will be getting off the plane shortly, and just sort of act like that's what's going to happen, because that is what's going to happen. But my least favorite people are the ones who run up to the front. Cause I'm like, well, here's the problem that causes, right? We're in a row and we have stuff in the bin overhead. And I'm like, well, now you're standing in the aisle. I can't get out to the bin to get our stuff out. So now I just kind of have to sit here and wait for you to move out of the way. And then like, you know, and then what happens is there's like a constant stream of people. So basically then I have to stand up and like stop the line of people moving. And I sort of feel like an asshole, even though it's like, no, this is not my fault. Right. Like when we landed in Japan, there was a group in front of us that was like not very speedy about getting off the plane. But we were behind them and I was standing in the row and it looked like they were younger, you know, they were probably in their late teens or early 20s. And maybe this was their first time doing something like this. And so I just sort of stood there for a second and was like, are you guys ready? You know, or like something like that. And I said, it was very nice. You know, I wasn't being like a jerk of like, you're going to get off the fucking plane or what? I was like, all right, you good to go? Something like that. And I was like holding up everyone behind us so they had a chance to like get in the aisle and get off. And she was like, yeah, we're ready, you know, and then they got off. And I was like, that's all it takes, man. You just gotta like give people a second. But so, of course, the coughing lady was also the lady rushing to the front, was also the one whose husband was standing with his shins touching the baggage claim the whole time. You know what I mean? And you're just like, this is the thing. It just feels like traveling is like a microcosm of society because you see people at their worst. And I try to be generous that way and be like, I know this is some people at their absolute worst and we're not at our best after being crammed into a plane that long. However, it's also like the microcosm aspect to me is like, you can see how it's like most people are just like, look, man, I just want to get on the plane, not have a miserable time, not get sick, you know, not have a baby that I'm bringing on a vacation, all these things. And like, just, you know, I just want to get by with the minimum, you know, going through life, like trying to get by with the minimum efforts, maybe not the best thing in the world. But I think trying to get through a 12-hour flight and just be like with a minimum fuss and just sort of accepting that the world for the next 12 hours is something that I have little external ability to control. And it's just going to kind of suck. It's just going to be what it is, right? Just sort of accepting that, I think, is the way to go. And that's what I struggle with this stuff, or why it's a microcosm of the world to me, is because I'm like, the best thing you can do, I think, in those situations is like, look, if you see someone struggling to put up a bag or something, you can help them out. But overall, it's just like, if you're just polite and you just give people a little grace and like a little wiggle room or whatever, that helps a lot. But secondarily, even if you're not going to help anybody, even if you're not going to do anything to make the experience more positive, you can just not be selfish. You know what I mean? If you can just rein it in for 12 hours, because I'm like, listen, for all that guy, you know, rushing up to the front of the plane and like doing all this stuff, rushing to the front of the baggage, he didn't get out of the airport any faster than us. You know what I mean? We were out of the airport at the same time. And it's like, okay, so you just pissed people off. You were just being a dick and it got you nowhere. You know what I'm saying? And even if it does get you somewhere, I think my feeling on it is like, it's like a 20-hour travel. You know, I'm in the tunnel, as I would always say. Like, I hate it. It sucks. But you just basically you're like, I just need to survive for 20 hours. You know what I mean? And then except I'm not going to enjoy it or have a good time, but whatever. And like, but you know, part of that for me is like, well, I'm not willing to make someone else reasonable or miserable. You know what I mean? I'm reasonable. I'm not willing to make someone else reasonable, because I perceive that that somehow is going to make my experience better. And when we're talking about a 20-hour tunnel, what's the difference between 20 hours and 20 hours plus 20 minutes? You know what I mean? It's really not that much. I don't know. I'm just like, it just feels like that kind of person thinks like all these other sheeple are just doing what they're told and like exiting the plane in like orderly fashion and whatever. And he's like, I'm going to get off of here fast as fuck because I've got situational awareness. Okay. This is one of my pet peeves, by the way, people talking about situational awareness. That just seems like something that people like to bring up to be like, you shouldn't ever be listening to headphones when you're outside of your house. What about situational awareness? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like a thing to me that I'm like, how aware do you think you really are? It's like, you think no one else has any idea what's going on. And it's like, I mean, but listen, like your sharp, keen senses are just creating trouble for everyone else. I don't know. Okay, let's switch to talking about Japan and like comparing some of the things and why it's horrible here. Okay. Let's just go immediately to the airport. You know, I was telling you about how The airport's like wall-to-wall noise. So we get to Narita Airport, which is fucking huge. You can look at pictures of it. It's gigantic. The check-in area is enormous. It is like so quiet. I mean, it's like, it's very quiet there. It's pleasant. And then in the airport, before and after security, there's like a mall with like food and like you could buy your souvenirs and shit there if you wanted to. And it's here's what's really interesting about it. The things in the airport at Narita cost the same as they do outside the airport. And I was like, man, you really would have to explain this to a Japanese person coming to the United States. You'd have to be like, so listen, the airport where we are is a punishment for flying. It's like everything there is super expensive. Everything about it sucks. Everyone there acts like a jerk and it's just going to be horrible. So just be ready for that. You know what I mean? I'm like, it'd be like when I traveled to Morocco, it felt very chaotic and it felt like this seems needlessly chaotic to me. It's a different culture. It's fine. I'm not like shitting on it because I'm like, it's different than here. I'm just saying that like their way of like lining up for things and stuff is very different from ours. And I was like, for a Japanese person coming to America, that would be what it felt like. It would be like, what the fuck is going on here? And then when they went to eat at McDonald's in the airport and it cost $40, they'd be like, what? Are you sure? You know what I mean? They're going to think they're being screwed out of something. Okay. Here's a big one in Japan. They have public bathrooms and they're all nice. So like you go to a train station in Japan. Now, I don't know how bad I would need to pee to use a bathroom in like a New York City subway station, but it would have to be pretty fucking bad. Like I'd have to be like, well, it's this or pee my pants. Like this is it. I either need to go in this bathroom and pee or find a corner to pee in right now. That it would have to be that, right? And then when you went in that New York City subway bathroom, I would fully expect somebody to be camped out in there. I would fully expect it to be filthy. I would have zero expectation of a working sink or soap dispenser of any kind. You know what I mean? Like, and honestly, even if it was working, would probably look at it and be like, I think I'm cleaner having touched my own junk than I am touching any other surface in this bathroom. And in Japan, it's not that way. The bathrooms are amazing and they're everywhere. They're very abundant. So it's like you can go on vacation there and drink stuff and then like not have to worry. Like when I go on vacation to some like a city, you go to Chicago and you're like, I need to like keep track of how much fluid I'm taking in. Like I'm going to walk 7 miles today, but I can't just drink and stay hydrated because if I do that, I'm going to have to pee. And if I have to pee, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to pay $40 to go in a museum or something. Also on the train there, people don't really talk. And they definitely do things that don't bother other people. They don't like have their cell phone on and play a casino game with the sound all the way up. I mean, they don't even really talk to each other. And if they do, it's in a very quiet voice. And it's like so amazing because you're just like, I'm not bothered by other people on the train right now. Like nobody's bothering me. And it's funny to me because like in the United States, I've read online many heated debates about whether or not it's okay to blast music from a Bluetooth speaker when you're in the woods, like on a hike. And like everybody arguing in favor of it is either they'll say like, well, in bear country, it helps keep the bears away. And I'm like, oh, fuck off. You know how you know that's not true, that that's not the reason that they do it? If they went for a hike and they discovered they had forgotten their Bluetooth speaker and they were like, they're hiking in their normal spot I'm like, would you drive back home? Because you're like, hey, you know what? This isn't safe. It's not safe to hike without a speaker. So I'm not going to do it. Because that's, I care very much about protecting myself from bears. If you really cared that much about protecting yourself from bears, you'd be like, it's not worth risking my life to hike. So I'm going to go back home and either get it or just be like, I guess I'm not hiking today. No one would do that, right? It's just an excuse because they want to listen to music. But the other crazy one is like people saying things along the lines of like, why are people gatekeeping the woods? Like, people should be able to enjoy nature however they want to. And I'm like, okay. Having worked at the public library, I consider myself somewhat of a minor expert on like, how far should the rights and methods of enjoying a space extend? And I think the answer is very simple. And it's, they should extend as far as then begins to annoy or make the space less useful and enjoyable for others. So like, for example, one time when I was working at the library, there was a guy who was watching videos that were teaching you how to like twirl glow sticks on the end of a like little paracord, right? Like this is like, I don't know, you would do it at a rave or some shit. It's like dancing and like, you know, twirling them around in different patterns and stuff like that. So he's sitting at a computer doing that, nearly whacking his neighbor in the face constantly. And when I went to tell him like, hey, this isn't going to work, you know, and I was like, I understand what you're doing. And I know you don't mean to hurt anybody, but this is, it's too much. You cannot be whipping this around, inches from another human's face. And he looked at me like I was the craziest person in the world. You know what I mean? Like I was being completely unreasonable. And I was like, buddy, no one except for you who's doing this thing would think this is remotely reasonable thing to do. Okay. Or like in the library again, like phone calls, right? Is a phone call, are phone calls not allowed in the library? No, like we don't have a blanket, like you can't take phone calls in the library, but like just go to a part that nobody else is in or go to a part that's already noisy. Like if you're hanging out in the, if you're there with your kids in the children's section, looking at picture books, it's probably noisy enough in there that being on the phone isn't going to bother anybody. But then when you're like, you know what, I'm going to go down towards this quiet reading area and be on the phone, it's like, man, come on. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how I feel about like Bluetooth speakers in the woods. I'm like, well, here's the thing, guys. If that's your style of enjoyment, you know, that's whatever. But that impedes the ability of others to enjoy it. I've even heard a lot of like, well, what I do is I turn it down whenever I see that we're close to someone else. And I don't trust that because that's what people try to do with their brights in their car. And most people don't seem to be able to do that successfully. And I'm like, why are you just, you're like on a suburban street driving with your brights on. Like, just don't do that. You know what I mean? You don't need to do that. Stop doing that. Stop being a jerk off. Anyway, it's over there. I don't know exactly what it is, you know, like they talk a lot about, I mean, everybody there is quieter too. Like we sat next to a Japanese guy who was loud at one meal and like you're shoulder to shoulder with people at every restaurant. And we ate out every single meal. And like one time were we next to a loud Japanese guy. And it's like they've chosen to live in a way where they consider the desires of others. You know what I mean? And they're like, well, maybe other people don't want to hear my conversation or don't want to hear the music I play. And like, in the, you hear this thing, you visit Japan and you hear things from Japanese people or people who live in Japan who are like, visitors have these rose-colored glasses, right? And it's like, people in Japan kind of relish the freedom of self-expression that we have in the States. And they feel like Japan is a little bit more tamped down and stuff like that, which I understand. right? I understand that like a society that is more conformist, maybe that can, I'm sure that's hard in some ways. But I think the thing is I think this is a situation where we're like making it one thing or the other. And I'm like, you know, there are lots of forms of self-expression that don't involve you expressing yourself all over other people, like blasting my expression onto other people, making your car super loud so that I can hear it from 3 blocks away is a form of self-expression that I didn't really see happening a lot in Japan. And it happens all the time here. And like, to me, I'm like, I guess that's a form of self-expression, but like, why? And for who? And you know what I mean? And how it's a form of expressing yourself, but you're expressing yourself by annoying other people. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a little bit like, I guess, aggressive, or I'm trying to think what the word is, but it's just like you're being obnoxious and that's how you're getting attention. And, you know, I'm like, I don't know, I guess I prefer the other people other way. And like what I'm doing right now, right? I'm like, this is self-expression and like this is perfectly allowed, but it's opt-in self-expression. Other people kind of have to opt into this. Or, you know, I guess like sometimes the clothes I wear, like I have my patch jacket that has like 40 patches on it. And I'm like, I guess that's a little obnoxious. You know what I mean? And it's a form of self-expression. But I guess I don't see someone's clothing, provided that clothing is covering their body, as being like super in your face. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy for me to just ignore that and to not look at it or like whatever. I guess I just, you know, I just wish we could be like more about people self-expressing in ways that others can easily choose not to have to participate in. And I think that's like the difference to me, right? Self-express at home. Like, if your self-expression requires other people's reaction to it in order to be, to make you feel expressed, I think that's a problem, right? And it's like, maybe in Japan, you know, I don't live there, I don't know. And maybe the problem is that it's like, it's too hard to self-express because you cannot get any kind of reaction out of anyone for positive or whatever. But here I just feel like, yeah, if your expression is sort of like, you know, if you want your car to be loud, if we could just pipe it into the car and it's not happening outside the car, I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? If that's what you want your life to be like, I'm okay with that. But like, why do the rest of us have to deal with that? You know what I mean? Why do we have to deal with that? I guess overall, it's just like traveling there. Traveling is when you see people at their worst, right? And I'm seeing America and Americans at their worst. And it's like, I mean, maybe like the best example too is like, we land in Japan, we get on a train, because like the airport there is a ways outside Tokyo. It's like maybe 40 minutes outside Tokyo, which is similar to like what we have here. In Japan, you land, you get on a nice train. It's not very expensive. It's like 20 bucks or something. It takes you into the heart of downtown, and then you can get on like a subway and go wherever you want to go. And like while you're doing this, it's like, oh, the train you're on has like bathrooms on it. It has like vending on it. The seats are nice. There's plenty of room. You get to the main train station. It doesn't smell like pee. There's no litter. It's very clean. Everything's nice. You know what I mean? It's like, it's orderly. Things work. And like you land in Denver and it's like, it's loud as fuck. It smells horrible. It's chaotic. You can't even walk from the terminal. You have to take this dumb little train inside. When we were in Atlanta, they have a similar thing, right? A train that goes between the terminals and they have a walkway. And I'm like, I would so much prefer a walkway, because I'm like, I get it. You need the train because people are flying who maybe can't do the walking. And I'm all for that. But having to be on the train is so dumb. because I'm like, well, I get to the airport plenty early because I'm a responsible adult and I'm about to be seated for the next 12 hours. I don't mind taking a 10-minute walk. You know what I mean? Like, this is actually preferable for me. Like, I get through security and I'm like, okay, well, I've got 2.5 hours before we board. So, like, yeah, taking a 20-minute walk seems like a good idea. Then you, like, get out of the airport in Denver and you drive down this shitty bumper-to-bumper traffic road past a garbage dump. It's always backed up and under construction. And, you know, like, we're driving and this... these two cars go blasting by with the loudest fucking exhaust ever. And I was just like, I hate this. It's like, I hate it. You know, one thing I heard about Japan is that you could move there like as an American and you could learn the language and the culture and be very respectful and understanding and people would be nice to you and all that stuff. And by the way, something I heard about this, like, I've heard this multiple times since being back and I'm tired of it because I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, people are very hospitable there. They're very nice. Like the people who work at a restaurant or whatever are, you know, very courteous and whatever. And everybody's like, well, you know, that's just fake, right? It's like, you know, they're not, they don't like you. And I'm like, I know that. I know that. I'm just saying I prefer that version where they're at least pretending. And they're not pretending to be your best friend. They're just pretending that they care about this job and doing a good job, right? And I'm like, I mean, I prefer that version to the version where it's like, they're not even pretending to care. And you know what? Like, I don't even care if people care about doing their job. It's just like, if they're doing a good job. But, you know, I don't know. It doesn't always feel like you get that. I don't care that people here are more casual. I don't care that they're a little louder and stuff like that. It's just more like, I think the thing is when people tell me, well, you know, you know, that's all facade, right? And I'm like, I know that. I'm an adult. I understand how people work and I understand being at a job. Believe me, after 15 years of working in a library, I understand being at a job and being nice to people who, if you had to deal with in your personal life, you wouldn't give them 5 seconds of your time. But, you know, I would try to be nice to people. And, you know, even when people were saying crazy shit or like telling me things like they were an older man who's getting on a dating website and he's telling me about how he needs to date a slimmer woman because she needs to get into certain sexual positions because he was in a plane crash and can only do certain positions. And I'm like, this is information I do not need. You know what I mean? Like, I do not need to know this. And I mean, just because you're listening to this, I'm saying it, whatever. He was describing to me how he needed a lady who was slimmer because she needed to be able to get into a on all fours position because that's the only thing that worked for him or whatever. And I was like, I think a hefty lady can probably do that. Like, that seems like a pretty easy position to be in or what. Anyway, but you know what I mean? And I was nice to that guy. And it's not because I liked him or wanted to be his friend or even thought that his goals were very genuine or pure. It's because I was like, that's the job. And you know, I just think the world works better that way. I think the world works better when we just sort of do that instead of, what am I going to say to him? You know what I mean? He's some fucking old man who I don't have to deal with anymore. And he's just trying to set up a dating profile and doesn't know how. And I, you know, sometimes feel occasional guilt from that because I'm like, well, I'm kind of inflicting this guy on other people. But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, look, he's going to do this regardless. And all I'm really helping him do is like figure out how to send himself a confirmation email. You know what I mean? I'm just speeding up the process for him. I don't know. How much of a problem is that? Maybe too, like if he has a more direct profile, like maybe if he's had less trouble and he's putting in the things he wants to put in, it will signal to people who are astute that like, oh, this guy's a piece of shit. Anyway, I'm already tired and we've only been back for a week of hearing like, well, you know, the hospitality there, it's just that's what they're paid to do. That's their job. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm not saying I made best friends that I'm going to be pen pals with in Japan. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that. I think what I'm saying is, if politeness is a facade, okay. What I'm saying is if politeness, if being quieter, if having train station bathrooms where there are mirrors and there's nothing scratched into the mirror and there's no graffiti on the mirror and it hasn't been destroyed, you know what I mean? If what that requires is a society where we all have to sort of pretend like we're doing those things because we care about other people and that's not actually true, I'm fine with the results. Okay, like I'm fine with the results of like being a more pleasant world, even if the motives for the results are not being clearly displayed. Even if the motive for those results is everybody's in it for themselves, because everybody is thinking like, I want to be able to pee in the train station. So I'm going to do life this way because that's what facilitates that. I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? I don't care if someone's has no consideration or concern with my ability to pee in the train station. But anyway, in Japan, I guess, you know, here's what I've gathered, is that you could live there as a foreigner, learn the language, all that stuff. And like people will be nice to you. You know, they're never going to say this to you, but there's this unspoken thing that you'll never really be Japanese, and Japanese think they're better. I gotta say, after being there for 2 weeks, I get where they're coming from. You know what I mean? I guess I'm not someone who's got much of an ego or self-esteem, because it doesn't really, when someone is like, they'll think they're better than you. And I'm like, well, they live in a world where they have access to public bathrooms. And I'm like, maybe they are. When I go to the airport in Denver and someone has used a coin to scratch graffiti into the mirror at the fucking airport. And, you know, it's graffiti that means nothing. It's not street art. It's just a name scratched into a mirror shittily. And it's like, I've been trying so hard to be like generous with people and to be more positive and like with graffiti. Okay. I came about this a weird way. We all like kind of complain in at least a joking ish way about you go look up a recipe online, right? And it's like, you see the recipe and it's like, why do they have to tell me a 15 page story about their grandpa? No one cares about this. Everyone wants to read this recipe, right? And like, I've started to try and feel sympathetic towards those folks and think like, you know, maybe this is a person who nobody really listens to. And it is hard, like that, you know, like I have a grandma who's dead and like nobody knows her. And she didn't, you know, make an impact on the wider world in such a way that like I have people coming up to me and saying like, your grandma was amazing, you know? And I was like, but I really loved my grandma and it sucks that she's just gone. And, you know, whatever. It feels like the entire world forgot her instantly. And I'm like, maybe this is people's way of creating a platform for the stories they want to tell. You know what I mean? They're like, hey, if you're going to use my recipe, I'm going to put my story here. And maybe you won't read it. Maybe no one will read it. But at least they'll have to scroll through it. And at least in that way, in some tiny, minuscule way, I have put my voice into the world. You know what I mean? And that's like how it sometimes I try to think of graffiti is I'm like, and I try to think of this and it's a sort of paternal, but whatever, I don't care, way, which is like, you know, these people doing this are trying to self-express in a world that it is difficult to express in sometimes. And like, I wish they were doing it a different way and I wish it was more positive. And maybe these are the only tools they have available to them. You know what I mean? Maybe the world has failed them in such a way that like they feel the only way they can self-express is by scratching their name into a mirror somewhere. But then other times I think, like, fuck that. I think I'm being a little too generous. You know what I mean? I think I'm being a little too allowing or giving them too much credit. Like, they're trying to do something. And it's like, no, man, they're not trying to do something. They're not trying to self-express. They're just being dicks. And so, yeah, I'm like, I mean, it's hard for me to see that and to see, like, the way things work in the States versus there. And when someone in Japan thinks they're better than me, and I'm like, well, you know, on an individual level, I guess that warrants discussion. But if I had to look at the two societies, you know what I mean? And like the way you guys have bathrooms, the way you don't just throw garbage on the ground, the way that, you know, you guys have convenience stores that sell actual real food, the way your airport is like pleasant. It's not a punishment for flying. And I'm like, I don't know that you're wrong. You know what I mean? Or I don't know that I would certainly be willing to entertain the idea that you're better than me. I think you've built maybe a better society. Certainly by some measures, it's better. Certainly in many ways, it is better. And like, we could debate forever about the overall aggregate and what's better and what's worse. But I'm like, there's certainly an argument to be made that is strong enough that when people make it, I'm not mad. All right. We'll see you next time. Somebody should talk about tools.